Good evening, one and all. Yes, a Wednesday. I know, managed two shows this week without mucking something up. So it's great. We're on a Wednesday, halfway through the week, and I'll tell you, time is flying. I mean, it's nearly September. I know, the leaves are starting to turn here in Connecticut, where I am. And, well, I'm here, and so's my guest. Now, one of the great things in life must be if you really enjoy traveling, and then you can write an adventure based, if you like, loosely on some of those travels. And I don't mean a sort of mystery travel like where did my suitcase end up this time. I'm talking about a mystery type adventure thing. Well, my guest, she's not only managed to do that once, but she's done it really successfully loads of times. And not just the sort of spots that people know about. This is really some nice places that she loves to go and visit all over Europe, I guess, and other places. But we'll find out more, because on my show today, I have the one and only Bluett Matte. Hi, Bluett. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Barry, and thanks for having me on your show.
It's a pleasure. Now, as I said at the beginning, you're one of these people that loves traveling, not off the... Not the sort of regular, you know, if it's a Tuesday, we're in Brussels sort of travel. It's off the beaten track, shall I say. The sort of places that perhaps only the locals know, you like finding out about.
Yes, I love going to places. I love going to the big places like Paris, London, Rome, etc. But I love the smaller areas where you can really get in to meet the local people and enjoy just, you know, whatever the beautiful surroundings are. And also delve into the history of the area. I enjoy that.
Is it something that's always been a passion of yours, traveling?
My father used to get us up at 2 o'clock in the morning to take trips to Florida over Christmas when we were kids.
Wow.
And then during the summers, he would pack us into a travel trailer and head up through New Brunswick and Quebec and Newfoundland or out to... you know, the other direction towards all of the Saskatchewan and Manitoba, just traveling all the time. And it just became such a part of me. I thrive on it.
Yeah, see, my grandparents always used to take us up to London for the, you know, to go and see the various museums or to, you know, to go up to Greenwich and see the Cutty Sark up there and all that sort of stuff. And yet... When I did my first London Marathon, I remember running around these places and thinking, my goodness, I didn't know this was here and didn't know that was there. You never know a city, I don't think, you know, no matter how many years you've been there and lived there and that. Is that what you find every time you go back to somewhere, you find something totally different?
Yes, I actually lived in London for about a year and a half when I was younger. And then when I was visiting one of my sons there several summers ago, I discovered these London walks.
Oh, right, yeah.
Oh, and they were just fascinating. I went on sometimes two a day. I mean, I was just pumping as many as I could because I was just enjoying them so much. These little...
Yeah, I mean, you have loads. Yeah, there's loads, isn't it? Like the Jack the Ripper walk and the this walk and the that walk and the ghost walk and... They're all over the place these
fascinating,
days.
Fascinating, yeah. And the people that guide the walks were just so professional and so knowledgeable. And to me, it was just enthralling and intriguing to discover parts of a city that I'd been in for a year and a half and then to find all these other little areas sequestered away. It was just, to me, marvelous.
I mean, it also helps that your husband was something to do with travel, wasn't he?
Yes, he used to have a cross-country ski tour group, and he would, you know, bring people on ski tours into various parts of Europe, because he'd been a cross-country ski enthusiast for many, many years. So he, you know, and he loves to travel as well. He's probably the most well-traveled person I know, and it's just fascinating to travel with him. His experience is just a wonderful asset.
Right, I bet. And it's amazing, I always say to people, it's amazing how these shows come together. You know, I plan, in this case, like 6-7 months ahead, some of these shows, you know, and yet yesterday we had Charlene Ball on the show talking about Amelia Lanier, and Amelia Bassona Lanya, who was supposedly the Dark Lady in Shakespeare's sonnets. In other words, a historic type novel, you know, about a character, a real character, little known. And you do that with your travel mysteries. As I said, that's nothing to do with suitcases going missing and stuff. Your travel mysteries, you take people to locations where you base your mysteries in and educate them at the same time.
I do, and I sometimes I think I probably go a little too much into depth on the history, because not everybody likes history as much as I do, but I just find it fascinating. This last book, Engadine Eyrie, took place in the San Moritz area of Switzerland during the time of the cross-country ski marathon, and
right.
part of the history was about the Knights Templar, and part of that also was based out of the city of Lyon, France, which has all of these hidden passageways and alleyways and secret, you know, courtyards and things, because the Templar issues were very, very secretive and everything. And so, of course, I had to go to Lyon, not just to eat, because the food there is fantastic as well, but to explore some of these hidden passageways, which was just fascinating. But it's just little things like that. I don't know, I'm quirky perhaps, but I'm just fascinated by the in-depth history of all of this and how it all just flows together. Europe, to me, is just a laboratory.
Right. No, I can understand. Totally what you say. And it's interesting because the Knights Templar are often in the news and stuff the last sort of half a dozen years, with all the theories about Oak Island and the, you know, the people who came to America and all this sort of stuff. There are still a mystery, like a lot of these locations. There's so many mysteries lost in history, and you're not sure which are the real things and which are just, you know, fairy tale sort of thing. San Moritz as well. Don't they have the horse race in the snow in San Moritz? Isn't that
they
where
do.
The horse race is?
They do. Right. They have. They play a snow polo as well.
Right, really?
Oh, yes. Wow. Yeah. Sounds like a dangerous thing for a horse, but you know, whatever. We've gone to the cross country ski marathon 2 years in a row now as guests, so that I could get some good background for the story. And
the new story, huh?
Yeah. So I really enjoyed that, and also part of this story, falconry was involved. So before I left the United States, because I'm now living in Switzerland, I had hooked up with the North Carolina Falconry Association and visited, you know, one of their outings to, you know, be around the birds, and they're just magnificent creatures. I was just totally enthralled with that as well.
Fascinating, and you know, if people get a chance just to even see them, let alone, I mean, I can remember having sort of like great big owls on my wrist, you know, and that, and they're so soft, you can't get over it, you know, and yet they're so big and that it's they're fascinating creatures.
They are.
What finally got you writing about your adventures in this form of genre?
Well, I'd visited my son a couple of summers ago in London, and I was on one of these London tours, and during part of the tour, you know, I turned around and I recognized Whitehaven Mansions, which is the fictitional home for Hercule Poirot in London. And of course, I just loved that series. I thought that was just, you know, well crafted, and David Suchet just did an excellent job portraying Hercule Poirot. I think he was just the all-time greatest. And I was, you know, on this London walk, and I happened to look across this little park, and there's Whitehaven Mansions, and it just hit me. I thought, wow, you know. And I'd always been writing, you know, since I was a kid, and I loved mysteries, and I loved travel, and something just clicked right then. And I when I flew back to the States, I called my husband from the airport, and I said, I'm going to start writing travel mysteries. I'm going to write my way through the alphabet. And so I've done A, B, C, D, E. I've started F.
Oh, cool.
You know. So
in that case, was the first one the Abruzzo? It was,
Abruzzo Intrigue, which took place in Abruzzo, right. Italy, and I did it kind of out of order initially, and I did, the second one was B for Black Forest Reckoning in Germany, C was Corsican Justice, D was Dalmatian Traffic, which centered mostly in Montenegro and Croatia, with a little bit in Albania. And that was an interesting trip. That was an amazing trip to go explore those areas. And then
Albania's one of these places not many people go to, but yeah. Albanians spend most of their time in other countries.
Yeah, not very welcome sometimes either. Depending.
Exactly. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
But Montenegro is really interesting. They have, I swear, you know, the driving over there. It's a crowding people off the road and driving like maniacs is just a thrill kill for them, you know. And you just all along the highways you see these memorials to people that have been killed, you know. And it was just amazing to me. But that was an interesting trip, very interesting trip. And of course going to Croatia. I'd been to Croatia years ago to Split and Hvar Island, and this time I spent my time there mostly in Dubrovnik, in that wonderful old pearl of the Adriatic walled city. It was just really gorgeous.
It's on my list. Oh,
yes.
I want to go to Hungary for some reason.
I do too. I think Budapest would be amazing.
Yeah. I've been to, you know, most of Europe, but I've never been there. And it's just, like you say, it's one of these places you sort of hear and you see pictures of, and you never get there.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to just be a really beautiful place. So, yeah, I'd love to go to Tbilisi as well. I'd like to check that out in Georgia.
Do you know, my favorite place is Luxembourg, funny enough, in Europe that I've been to. I just love Luxembourg.
It is. That's an interesting little place to kick around in. Lots of money there.
I don't know. It just seems such a friendly, totally little place unto itself sort of thing.
City-state. Yeah,
exactly. And the worst place, I think, is Brussels.
I've not been there. But I would like to go check out the chocolate.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to plan this stuff.
Yeah. You have to do some research.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Research. Yeah. The hidden chocolate smuggling that went on in Brussels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the salt smuggling that went on between Switzerland and France. It was amazing. That's another thing I've enjoyed with the current book I've started, is I've been exploring the old smuggling trails between the border between France and Switzerland where I'm living. And I've been hiking some of the trails. It's just really amazing.
Well, I did the salt mines in Austria. Mm-hmm. Where you go down on these great big slides, and there's just the guide holding onto a rope to slow you down.
Okay.
which is quite amazing. That we went there, and then we went to the Mad Bishop's Palace, and it was like a boiling hot, like 95 odd degree day. So the Bishop's Palace, where the water shoots out everywhere at you while you're sort of not expecting it, was wonderful that day.
Yeah, no complaints.
We didn't mind getting soaked. No, it was wonderful day. Apart from these books, as you say, your new book as well, I believe you're writing something else right now about going back to the 50s.
Yes, actually. My father was a wonderful storyteller. And I made a practice of the last couple of years he was alive. Every time I would visit him, I would record these stories that he would tell. And, you know, my kids grew up listening to these stories, and he was a masterful storyteller. And so I've taken a lot of these stories that happened in this little town in the Midwest and woven them into a real live mystery murder that actually happened in this town as well. And so there's lots of kernels of truth throughout the book, and then, of course, my embellishments and you know, the creative that went with it. But it It was a completely different work. All my travel mysteries have involved the same protagonist, Hardy Durkin. This book does not. It's just a totally different aside. I haven't published it yet because I haven't decided, you know, where I want to go with that. So it's kind of sitting on my desk.
Okay. But meanwhile, Hardy Durkin is going to be around for a couple more books then, I assume.
Hardy Durkin's, you know, he's on F and he's got to go to Z. Through the I'm afraid he's going to. But I was thinking about
people at home going, how's she going to get through? Oh, well, that letter, we can go there. Where are we going to go with that letter? People are sort of mentally working it out.
And especially some, you know, more out of the way place. But I'm actually toying with the idea of introducing a female protagonist as well from London. So she might be appearing in this next book. And then, I don't know, maybe I'll branch off with that for a little bit. I don't know.
Perhaps she can be a tour guide. Then she, that's why he keeps meeting her in all these places.
I don't know. Or just very a typical Brit that's all, you know, the intrepid Brit that's always out there traveling. Man, they're just on the trail somewhere. You just run across them everywhere.
That's right. As long as you're okay and you got food and there's a place to get a decent beer, you're fine. That's it.
Yeah.
We go anywhere.
Or a good place to stop for tea. I mean,
exactly. Got to have tea. Yes. We did that. Three of my friends and I. We did the whole mini bus from The Hague down Amsterdam, right down the Rhine to Basel, whatever you want to call it, in Switzerland, mm-hmm. and then came back Luxembourg, Belgium, Germany, France, that stuff like that. As soon as we got to any campsite, up went the roof, on went the kettle for a cup of tea.
Well, you know, my husband and I love to watch these foreign mysteries and crime series, and especially, you know, the Brits have just tons of them, and it's just amazing. No matter what happens in any of these shows, somebody's always saying, "Let me put the kettle on." It's become this, you know, no matter what happens to the Brits, they always have a cup of tea because it always makes it better. So, I'm an avid tea drinker myself. I mean, that's where I go in the morning, with a cup of tea rather than coffee. So
exactly. But it's funny. It's so true. Something came up. I was watching a film the other day, and I can't think what it's called. Something about song or something sing. I can't think what it was. Terence Stamp was in it. He played this sort of old codger in it. I can't remember what it was. And all through, every time there was somebody was upset about something, they said, "Let's put the kettle on." And I was thinking, that's what it used to be when I grew up. You know, Sunday morning, people used to pop in, "Let's put the kettle on."
Well, we always used to do that, you know, when I lived in London and we'd have people come over. We were constantly making tea. It was just a constant. So, and there is something just totally, totally cool and soothing and comforting about it.
Have you ever had high tea?
Oh, yes. When I was in Edinburgh a couple of summers ago, we went to, I can't remember, the Queen's Hotel, some hotel there for high tea, and it was just lovely. I've always wanted to go to the Dorchester for their high tea, but haven't done that yet. So
We were in a place, we were on Clacton-on-Sea last year. We're actually moving near there. That's one of the reasons we went over there when I go back to England next year. We got taken to, I think it was the Pink Palace Hotel for high tea. And they brought the tea service out and stuff like that. And then they bought like a two-tiered cake stand.
Mm-hmm.
And it had like sandwiches, sausage rolls and you know, stuff. And
creamy cakes.
Exactly. Creamy cakes, scones, strawberries, double cream, lemon drizzle cake, chocolate cake. And we thought, oh my goodness, we're not going to eat all that. But then they bought out three more. We had one of those each.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
Well, and there's a whole tradition about whether you put the cream on first or the jam on first. And I mean, people actually have just written lengthy blogs about which one's preferable and tastes better. So,
do you put the milk in the tea first or after you pour the tea? It's all that sort of stuff as well. Your character, Hardy Durkin, how's he been received? I mean, do people sort of contact you about him, saying where's he going next, or want to know about, you know, where what's happened to him?
Yes.
Did you get contacted by that sort of thing?
Some of the reviewers that have reviewed my book have reviewed, you know, two or three of the Hardy Durkin books, and they do want to know where he's going next, or, you know, keep me posted, keep them posted about, you know, what his next adventure is going to be. So, yeah, he's getting a little bit of a following. Some people think he's too nice a guy, but I think he's just perfect. So,
well, I'm not sure about nice. He's a crack marksman, speaks four languages.
Yeah, but he is a bit of a Boy Scout, Barry. I mean, come on.
He is. Oh, okay. But yeah, I mean, he's one of these people that knows when trouble's coming because his throat itches.
Yeah.
<That's great>.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. So, I mean, where does he come from then? In originally.
Well, he was a composite figure. My husband helped me figure out some of the military aspects of his upbringing, etc. But, you know, it's just my books quite often have people that I know very well, for ill or good, and I just, you know, use a lot of people I know in real life as a basis for something, and then it'll go off somewhere else. Or, you know, I'll just make something up. But I had a really good time with Black Forest Reckoning because I decided to use some people I knew quite well in that, and I made sure that I changed all the names so that they would never figure it out.
Right.
They're not the kind of people who would read mystery travel mysteries anyhow. But
Didn't he end up in the dungeon or something in that as well?
Yes,
in Black Forest?
Yes, he did. He ended up in the dungeon with another young woman who was chained in there. It was pretty intense, actually.
Oh, nice friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
What location are you really looking forward to? What letter are you really looking forward to the most? Even ahead now, you know, I mean, you said, oh, I can't go to S yet, but I'm really looking forward to when we get there.
Well, I'm,
is there anything
I'm
like
kind
that?
Of stuck with F right now. I mean, I know where I'm working on that, but I'm just kind of taking a breather. But I'm really kind of interested in the Isle of Skye. I've always loved islands.
Oh, it's nice. It's beautiful. Yeah.
And I you know, I've always wanted to live on islands. I've visited many, many islands. I used to own part of an island down in the Caribbean, actually. I just, you know, I love islands. I don't know what it is. I guess the isolation of it all. And one of my reviewers is on the Isle of Skye, and there's just something that just you know, every time I hear from her or something, I'm captivated by the Isle of Skye, you know, and I'll go online and look at images, and, you know, so I think I'm really looking forward to that one. And I don't know, I haven't decided, I can't remember what it was, but there was one I was thinking about in Norway as well.
Mm.
So I don't know, it just
Isle of Skye, beautiful, but what, the 24 hours we were there, it didn't stop raining.
Really? sounds kind of like Scottish weather in a way, you know?
That does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I read something this year that they're asking people not to visit the islands. They're full or something with tourists. They can't take any more or something like that.
Oh, my goodness.
Well. So you better get in quick.
Yeah, or just go off season when it's freezing
yeah,
rain. Just,
yeah, that,
not
yeah.
just rain, but freezing rain.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is lovely, lovely place.
Yeah.
Are you thinking, you know, you've changed onto this other story. Are you looking to sort of try your hand at any other genre or anything sort of you're thinking, well, I might have a go at that stuff?
Well, actually, you know, I have. I've actually written just a lot. I've written children's books before but never published any. But I've started doing a little series in French. So I haven't decided, you know, I'm kind of playing with it right now just to see, you know, where it will go and to see if my French is actually going to hold up to it.
Hold up.
You know. So,
well, I tell you what we've held up to, and that is having a fantastic show with you. It's been such a great pleasure, but time is already whizzed by. So what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where they can find out more about you and, of course, all your books.
Well, thank you. I have a website, blueetmate.com, And you can read about my books on that website. You can read about Hardy Durkin. I also have links to my blogs on Goodreads and Nyum, and my books are available at, you know, your usual garden variety online retail places like Amazon, Smashwords, Barnes & Noble. There's a few, you know, others out there as well. I mean, I actually saw one in China. I thought, wow, who would do that? So they're out there. They're very available, and would love to have anybody pick one up and read it and drop me a line about what you think. Always ready to hear good things and criticisms about my work, because that helps me to grow and hone my skill.
Exactly. It's the only way we
grow. That's right.
Right. Well, Blewett, thank you so much for being a guest on the show today. It's been fascinating chat to you. Good luck with the new non-Hardy Dunkin' book, and of course your next one when you get through the letter F.
Well, thank you, and it was wonderful being back on the show. Always appreciate it, always enjoy it. And did you say you were moving back to England next year?
I am moving, but we are moving to England next October.
Where?
Yes. A little place called St. Osyth in Essex on the southeast coast. It's about 10 minutes from Clacton-on-Sea.
Okay, I've heard of Clacton-on-the-Sea, but I've not heard of Osyth. Well, it sounds wonderful. There's nothing much
Essex
prettier
the
than
county,
the English
yeah.
countryside, except maybe the Swiss countryside, but I've always loved the English countryside.
Well, it's... I'm looking forward to it, I must admit.
I don't blame you. Yeah. I don't blame you.
17 years over is enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Anyway, it's been a true pleasure having you on the show.
Well, thank you. And best of luck with your move, Barry.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, there you go. My guest today, Blewett Matte. So that's B-L-U-E-T-T-E-M-A-T-T. H-E-Y. Lots of four T's there. B-L-U-E-T-T-E-M-A-T-T-H-E-Y. Blewett Matte. Talking about her great series of books, Travel Mysteries, with, of course, Hardy Dunkin' being the main character in that, and the fact about the new one she's got based in America in the 50s, stories from her father used to tell and stuff like that from the sound of it. All right, that's it for now. I will be back on Sunday, but until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget.